Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all the day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went down toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "You will indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, and will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked? Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." And then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
O Lord, you put in your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abundating in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come in fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made the public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbath. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling in visions puffed up without cause by the human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with the growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
In rural South Dakota, there are two kinds of pets. You have inside pets and you have outside pets. I lived right next door to a little dog who was an outside pet, who wanted to be an inside pet. And he would stand in the yard looking at the back door of his house and bark until someone finally would have pity on the dog and let him in. But mom and dad went to work every day, and the children would go to school, and the little dog out in the backyard barked constantly. I don't think it ever dawned on him
that no one was home and that door is not going to open. He just barked and barked. He developed laryngitis. This is true. My office was right next to the next door, so I know how much he barked. But he developed laryngitis, barking, barking, barking. It wasn't doing any good because no one was at home. Does your prayer ever feel like that dog? You pray and pray and pray, and it's like no one's home. Your prayer doesn't get answered. Maybe you think your prayer is more like whining, so you finally just give up. Well, don't feel alone. The Bible tells us stories about followers of God who felt very much like that in their prayer, who prayed and didn't get the answers that they wanted. They didn't get what they were praying for. For example, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, God, take this cup from me. Well, that didn't happen. Or St. Paul, who prayed and prayed and prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be removed. Well, that didn't happen either. All of those prayers were answered in a way that they weren't looking for. So we're not alone in the fact that we pray and our answers are not what we're looking for. Is that reality of unanswered prayer a contradiction to what Jesus is teaching in today's lesson? Didn't he tell us to ask? A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. To ask. Didn't he tell us that? Didn't he say, ask and it will be given? That is what Jesus said, and we know that his words are true and that we can trust in his words. But maybe we need to understand prayer better before we can understand the truth and the power in Jesus' words. I spent Friday evening with the young people at SPI, and usually my Friday evening is spent preparing my sermon, but I was hanging out with the teenagers instead, so I thought I'd combine two things. So I said, give me a definition for prayer. And just like that, one of the young girls answered, prayer is talking to God. And that's true, but I think it's more than just talking to God. Remember that dog that developed laryngitis, talking, talking, talking. Prayer is more than that. Some people, though, think prayer is like magic. If you do exactly the right thing, if you say exactly the right words, or you have exactly the right action, you'll be able to persuade God to answer your prayer. I heard on the radio this last week that the Pope has given permission for the priests to go back to saying the prayers of the Mass in Latin. In the 1960s, the Roman Catholic Church decided that it would be better for people to understand more what's the prayers, so the language of the people, whatever that language might be, would be used instead of Latin. And now it seems like there are a lot of people who want to go back to the Latin. Maybe it's God hears better in Latin than in English or French or Swahili, or maybe it just sounds holier. And so maybe that's it. Or it's that desire. I think that the bottom line is that it's a desire for the things of the past. We look with nostalgia on the way things used to be. And maybe if we said our prayers like we used to do it, that maybe then the church would be like it used to be, and families could be like they used to be, and all things would be better as they were in the past. But praying isn't saying certain words or a certain language or a certain posture. There's an old story about a spiritual guru who had very powerful prayer, and many people came and asked him about how he prayed. Well, he taught people how to pray. There was a mouse in his prayer room, and this bothered him, this mouse, so he got a cat, and that solved the problem. The cat scared away the mouse. The guru never told anyone why he got the cat. One day he's walking down the hall in the monastery, and he notices every single room, all of the young monks have a cat, thinking that the cat is the clue for powerful prayer. Maybe some of us are like those followers, that we believe if we do something special that God will hear our prayers and answer them the way that we want, or say a certain number of prayers, or certain words. There are lots of books, lots of teachers, lots of methods promoting the way to pray. But prayer isn't rubbing a magic lamp. It's not presenting that Santa Claus in the sky with a list of things that we want. Prayer is a relationship with God. It does involve talking. It does involve telling God what we want. It does involve petitioning. But it also involves listening. It's a relationship. It's a connection. How do we develop a strong connection? If you have someone, a friend, you meet somebody that you'd really like to get to know better, you talk to that person often, and you listen to what that person has to say to you. Two-way street. That relationship deepens as the more communication takes place. So if you want a relationship with God, you have to pray. If you want to strengthen the relationship that you have with God, you have to pray. That's what Jesus is telling us all through the Gospel of Luke. Jesus prays constantly. He prays before he chooses the disciples. He prays when he's healing people. He prays on his journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. He prays when he feels the stress and the pressures of his ministry. He prays on the cross as he's dying. Jesus prays constantly. For Jesus, praying is like breathing. It's natural. It's necessary in order to live. If Jesus is going to live in a way that God has called him to live, he knows that he needs to be connected to that God, connected to the Father. And he does that through that constant prayer. The connection is prayer. The disciples see that powerful connection that Jesus has with his Father, and they ask, teach us to do that. Teach us to have that relationship with God. Jesus doesn't teach them an exact set of words. If you read the Gospel of Luke, as we just read a few minutes ago, that Lord's Prayer is different than the Lord's Prayer that Matthew gives us or that Mark gives us. It's not the exact words that are important. It's what Jesus is talking about is persistence in prayer. It's having that relationship and making that relationship constant. He says to us, ask, 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 ask. He tells us the story of that neighbor banging on the door at midnight, asking. Not about a proper technique, not about a certain posture, not about certain words, but about persistence, continuing to ask. Because, after all, this story about asking Jesus to teach us how to pray isn't about us. It's about God. Jesus is teaching us not how to pray in certain words or technique. Jesus is teaching us the truth of God, who wants to be in a relationship with us, who wants to give us good things, who wants to be connected to all of us. This God, who is a kind and loving Father, who is a loving and gracious Father, who will give to us all that we ask for, all the good that we desire, that God desires to give to us. And as we strengthen our connection with God, and as our prayer becomes more consistent and more persistent, we still find that we don't get what we pray for. We still don't get what we ask for. But we get something even better. We get what God wants to give to us. We get what we need. We get that closer relationship with God, that closer connection. And as that happens, our desires are transformed, and we begin to desire what God desires for us. So that what we ask for, search for, knock for, God desperately wants to give to us. And that's the connection with God. That's the relationship. That's what prayer is about. Strengthening our relationship with God. And then the truth of Jesus' words do come true, do come to life for us. That what we ask, we truly receive. Because what we ask for is that stronger relationship with God. Maybe you feel like you're getting laryngitis when you pray, that your prayers aren't being heard. But our persistent and consistent prayer is transforming our hearts. So thanks be to God for that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that transforms our hearts and strengthens our relationship and deepens our connection with God. Amen.